The Apostle Paul took the time to use one verse that said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This morning I'm going to preach from the subject, it's time to stop hiding behind I can't. It's time to stop hiding behind I can't. Oh, I'm not going to stop it. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time to stop hiding behind I can't. Part of boot camp. First, let me say I love all of you. Fatherly love. Been here next month will be 24 years. Many of you I've seen grow up from small children to where I was telling someone I saw had pictures of Terrell and Sean and Cedric, and they were all about that high, singing in the choir. Some of you I've watched grow from teens into adulthood and parenthood. Some of you, like me, I've watched grow there. And I want you to know this morning that I, watching this for 24 years and being in this position, I love you, but it pains me to see any of you being troubled by things which should have no power to interrupt your peace and your well-being. It pains me to see people somehow seem to be on a roller coaster, well, let me back up, a carousel, going round past this problem, and God brought them past it, and they're still, sometime this year, they're going to deal with the same problem that they were delivered from last year. It pains me. You desire to see progress. It's like once you learn to do a job. I had a job, a friend of mine, I was a teenager, and I was working with my friend and his father, and we had to buff floors. Well, nobody told me that if you lift the buffer handle, that it would move to the left. If you pulled it down, it would move to the right. I'm trying to drag that buffer, and my friend is laughing to death, because he knew I couldn't really move it. So I ended up watching him, and he finally came over and said, hey, look, here's how you do. You lift it, it'll move this way. You lower it, it'll go that way. Ah, that's a lesson I never lost again. I never tried to pull a buffer again. I didn't need to get on that carousel again, because now I know it, and I know how to get the solution to it. I know how to buff the floor. It is because of this that this year we have focused this ministry on the goal of living at the level of my entitlement and my responsibility. That is our goal for each of us, to be able to say, I'm living at the level of my entitlement and my responsibility. So this year, I'm challenging all of those who live beneath their God-given entitlement, those who never live up to their God-expected responsibilities, but who want to live free from those things which keep you running off course, keep you under sin's bondage, and keep you impoverished, to learn to live in the entitlement and live up to your responsibility. It's not hard. It's not hard. We just blow off that we can't do it. Our easiest thing, you ask somebody to do something, they'll tell you, I can't do it. I can't do it. You haven't tried to do it. You haven't learned to do it. But you say you can't. But the Bible tells me that you're lying. If you're claiming to be saved. Because the Bible does not allow for can't. I'm not fussing at you. Love you too much. I need for you to know this. I challenge you to come to Bible study every Tuesday to learn and apply to your life what you're learning, the spiritual principles which God has made available to you to ensure your complete success in life. We are teaching on Tuesday night. We're conducting a boot camp for Christians. My brothers and sisters, far too many of us are needlessly going through trials, tribulations, repeat situations and circumstances from which we have already been delivered, but we do not know how to successfully live in our deliverance. How many people know that there are some people that are, they're just, man, they're keyed up on drama. You can't live on a quiet street because it's too quiet. I got to have some street noise. I need to have the fire engines running by or the police siren going down the street. I live in a neighborhood that's absolutely pin quiet. And it's the greatest thing I've ever done. Why? Because I don't need the distraction of the noise to make me go to sleep. I used to live on Edgewood Street and Bay, right at the, couldn't sleep half the night. Sirens running by. Something is going on. I'm able to sleep now. Am I right about it? Well, you don't know, but I am. God has already delivered us, but yet we don't know how to access that deliverance. So we get stopped at the door again and have to go around back like we did during Jim Crow and work our way back in, come on somebody, to get a seat at the table when we could have walked through the front door because it would open for us without a key. We treat our trials as being greater than God's capacity to handle them. Some of us, the minute something happens, we right away have to either one, call somebody. We have to do something. And God said, sometimes just be still and know that I am God. Watch what I am able to do. I'm going to get into my subject in just a minute. Among the subjects being covered at Bible study are, you can know you are saved. Know, you can know the Bible is the Word of God. Trust God to perform His Word. It is your entitlement and your responsibility to live a victorious Christian life. Yes, you are robbing God. Expect and accept disappointments. We'll teach you how. Remember what Christ did and does for us. And then remember that this is not our home. And then when the reason is big enough, the facts don't count. And then lastly, is your family in shambles? We're going to teach you how to deal with those. They're not hard. You don't need a whole bunch of books. You need one. Come on. You don't need a whole bunch of time. You just need to be dedicated to learning. Somebody's mad already. They think I'm talking down to them. I'm not talking. I'm trying to set you free. Because see, I'm not dealing with those problems. Why? Because I've learned how to lean and depend on God, that when it comes up, I know it's not my problem. Did He not say, cast your cares upon me, for I careth for you? God has made that offer to us. But no, we're going to try to handle it till we mess it up. Then once we mess it up, we want to call God. And when it doesn't turn out the way we want to blame God for not being God. If you will attend these teachings, if you will learn, do, and abide in what God's word says, God has guaranteed you will be successful over every circumstance and situation whichever comes your way. Where's the baby? Amen. You must understand that when you are tested, here's our biggest problem. That testing is a necessary part of life. Cars are tested, toasters are tested, washing machines are tested, medicines are tested before they are deemed to be in their intended working order. So remember, when God allows you to be tested, his testing is never to destroy you. Understand, now I gotta put a qualifier here. Not all testing that comes your way is sent from God. Oh, we mess up some of it. Come on. Some folk can't keep their mouth closed long enough not to get into an argument with somebody or get something started rather than just walking away. The Spirit of God is saying, walk away. And you're saying, no, I got to give them a piece of my mind. God's testing, that which is sent from him, it strengthens, it proves, it improves that which was once weak in us. That's why the word of God says, therefore hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above what you're able, but he will with every temptation or testing provide a way to escape that you will be able to bear it. Y'all hear that? That put God on the hook. There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. So it won't be something from outer space. It'll be something that is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above what you're able, but he will, with every temptation or testing, provide a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. What a guarantee. I've lived on that guarantee for years. Amen. I don't have to deal with everything that comes my way. I don't have to involve myself in everything that comes my way, whether it's family or what. I don't have to do that. I turn it over to God. But first, you must be faithful to God and honest about your desire to live successfully. A lot of us aren't faithful to God and we're not honest. Yeah, we want to learn, we want to live faithful to God, but as long as it doesn't cause me to have to move outside of my comfort zone. You see, consistency must be a necessary part of our lives. Consistency in prayer life, consistency in our living, our loving, our giving, our attendance, our worship, and our study. Look at the goodness of God and others who were consistent. Let's take a look at a couple. What if Moses was inconsistent? What if Moses was inconsistent and was a show up sometimes kind of man? And what if he had not showed up that day because his son had a game or his daughter had a dance class? He would have missed the burning bush and remained for the rest of his life a caretaker of his father-in-law's sheep instead of being the shepherd of God's flock and the deliverer of Israel. If he had been a show up every now and then, he would not have seen the plagues that went on to Egypt. He would not have seen their deliverance. He would not have seen the Red Sea, the miracle at the Red Sea. He would not have seen the bread that came down from heaven. He would not have seen the rock that brought water in back of them. He would not have talked to God face to face, nor would he have known of the goodness and greatness of God. What if Noah had been swayed by the ridicule of others and had not been obedient to build the ark on time? Then he would have drowned in the flood and never learned of God's protecting power, and we would not be here, for man would be extinct. And then what if Shadrach, what if Daniel, let me put Daniel in there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had not been consistently faithful in their servants to the Lord, then they nor we would have learned when we face danger that God is able to fill the belly of lions. He's able to take heat out of fire, and he's able to exalt you even in the eyes of your enemies who cannot stand you. The Apostle Paul declares, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Paul says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ, not on my own, through Christ who strengthens me. Question is for each of us this morning, what keeps you from being spiritually fit? What is it? Do you not understand God's rules for success? Do you let situations you encounter dictate your response? Are you always responding rather than leading? Are your old habits too hard to break? What is it? Do you listen to others whom you believe know more than you, only to find out they do not? Or could it be you've seen or always see those claiming to be saved acting like or worse than the worst of the unsaved? If that's the case, then why are you allowing these agents of the devil to keep you from knowing Christ? If you will be consistent, if you will study the Word of God, then you will believe, you will leave behind the baggage of who you used to be. Y'all hear that? What you used to be, where you used to be, how you used to be, and then be clothed in God's reality of who you are now, what you are now, where you are now, and whose you are now. Some of us are bound by scared that somebody's going to mention who we used to be. I don't care what you know about who I used to be, because that's not important. It may be to you, but it's not to me. And no matter how much you bring it up, it's not going to shake me. It's not going to move me from where I am. I am where I am supposed to be. Amen? By the grace of God. None of us were perfect. Everybody come here. We've had people of every stripe. We've had people from every occupation, non-occupation, legal and illegal, come and join us. And they're welcome. Every streetwalker in town is welcome. Every pimp in town is welcome. Every ne'er-to-do in town is welcome, as long as they come seeking Christ and not trying to change us. While it is true we cannot change our past, but we, through Christ, can alter our present, and this will determine the contentment of our future. Now, there must be those of you here today who say, our scripture verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, needs some help, and that it cannot stand on its own. If you're thinking that this morning, then let me introduce you to its running buddy. That running buddy says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. How many things? All things work together. You mean when my problems show up, that it's showing up and it's already in concert with my solution? Because they're both different things. One is an aggravation and the other one is a consolation. But the Bible says they are working together. One shows up to kick me into my prayer mode, and the other one shows me up with God's deliverance from it. That is how all things work together. Remember now, when your problem shows up, all your problem is the opening act for the victory that God has in store for you. The victory is the main event. The problem is the opening act. So never look at the opening act as the consummation of the concert. All it is just opening up. Am I right about it? Tell somebody. My brothers and sisters, I'm going home now. The baby ain't said no more. Wake the baby up. My brothers and sisters, I've come to understand I can do all things God requires of me through the supernatural strength Christ supplies to me as long as I live in accordance to the word that God has placed in me to fulfill the will of the life that he has appointed me. Thus, through Christ, I can and you can love our enemies. I can and you can live each day successfully. I can and you can look forward to tomorrow without fear. I don't care what tomorrow brings. The sun's still going to rise in the east and it's going to set in the west. Whether it rain or the sun shines, tomorrow's ordained by God. I have no way and no business being fearful of tomorrow. That's why I don't care who the president is. God's still God. And God was here before the president. Some folks stressed out. They almost went into to depression on the 20th. What was that, Friday? But did you not notice that yesterday morning the sun rose? Did you not notice that at one point around 4 something, it became dark? And then this morning the sun rose again? We put ourselves in a position of just fearing things for the sake of fearing things that God never intended us to fear. And then we are, you can and I can overcome our disappointment over things. We can be honorable men and virtuous women. We can be obedient, helpful to children. Come on, somebody. We can be content in all of our circumstances. And we can live within our privilege. Why do we keep talking about it? Because God has set aside and he has put a boundary on what the enemy can do. And he set you so that you can learn that he's God. God never leaves you. Understand this. God is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere at the same time. Come on. He's omniscient. That means he knows all things from long before in the beginning until the amen. He understands and knows everything. We said the other night, there's never been an emergency meeting in heaven. Nothing has ever surprised God. And here's the other thing. God's never learned anything. He can't. If you know everything, how can you learn anything? And then he's all powerful. God has no adversary. We do. Come on. The devil's not God's adversary. God created the devil. God was the one that kicked him out of heaven. God's the one that puts restrictions on him. Do you not remember what the Bible says? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Resist. See, God took the devil and he opened up his back and he programmed it. And he programmed that if shared, say, get out, I resist you, I rebuke you, you got to leave. No matter how much advantage you got to leave. Now, you may come back. But if Cher keeps saying, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, then you have no authority over Cher. The devil has no authority over any of us that are saved by grace. None. There's nothing he can do without permission from God. And whatever permission from God, God looks and says, okay, go ahead, do that. But then God infuses us, huh, with the power to resist. And not only that, it elevates us in the eyes of God because we've learned how to get past this. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Our enemy, the devil, tries to influence what we see and cause us to conclude that things are too hard. My life is too hard. Talk to Job. You want to look at a hard life, talk to Job. We're always complaining, but then we don't look on the pages of the Word and find out who went through more than we did. I can't go on another day. Yes, you can. Tomorrow the sun is going to rise. If you will trust in God, I give up. That's quitting. I don't quit. And neither should you. You don't quit. If God does not say, leave wherever he placed you, don't you leave. As bad as I wanted to leave the court, I couldn't leave until God said so. Come on, somebody. You have to understand that sometimes we want a certain job. In the house? We want a certain job. And if we get that job and the job does not pay us, or we think somebody, we give up and quit. God could be placing you there to change them. And you've left your battle station because you didn't like what somebody said to you. How many people have seen Hidden Figures? If you haven't, go see it. Amen? Go to the matinee. It was $8, I think. Just don't buy the popcorn. And then we adopt this thing that nobody's going to trust me anymore. Well, that may be true. Nobody will ever love me. That's not true, because you got somebody that will ever, forever love you. And then he tries to get us to say that I don't know who to trust. Well, I can tell you that right now. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And then we have, I feel so all alone. My family's gone. I don't have anybody to talk to. Talk to Jesus. Amen? If you just got to have somebody, get your little dog, talk to him. And I'm being facetious. Dogs will be faithful. Come on, think about it. They don't leave. Okay, they can't get out. They don't leave. And the minute you turn the latch in that door, what do? They come running. Tail wagging. They're glad to see you. Hey, where you been? I've been here waiting for you. What are we going to do? You get ready to go somewhere, they're trying to run to the door to go out with you. Come on, somebody. That's company. And then the enemy tries to get us to say whatever we're required to do, that it is impossible. It's reported that Muhammad Ali once said, impossible is not a fact, it is an opinion. If this is you, then you must tell you, this is not of God. And that you're living beneath your privilege. Dr. C.J. Joyner wrote that never again will I admit lack. For Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Never again will I fear. For 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Never again will I harbor doubt and lack of faith. For Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Never again will I lack wisdom. For James 1:5 says, for if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally. Never again will I be in bondage. For 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Never again will I submit to the defeat in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Do I have a witness? Never again will I allow the supremacy of Satan over my life. For 1 John 4:4 says, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Never again, never again will I say I can't, for I can do through Christ who strengthens me. Now, if you cannot make that declaration, then you are living beneath your privilege. Come, study, and apply God's medicine to your life and live as God intended you to live. There's a story told that Pastor Tony Evans said. The other day in the mail, a credit card application arrived. The paperwork accompanying it said, quote, you have been pre-qualified for a $15,000 credit limit, end quote. This meant that I had already been determined to be acceptable to the company. This meant that the credit card company had already given the okay. However, the invitation did not automatically grant me membership. In order to get the card, I had to fill out a form and send it in. Even though the company had already extended the credit approval, that did not mean that I would automatically get the card. I had to write back and say I wanted it. God has already pre-qualified you for heaven, but paying for your sin on Calvary's cross was his way of making everything all right. But he only can activate your account if you tell him that you want him and you want him to do so. If you believe that you do not need the master's card to receive the privilege of eternal life, then you have not read, nor are you aware of the terms and conditions of the account, which you must fulfill in order to receive that precious privilege. One of the terms is you must admit that you are a sinner and unable to save yourself. I came to tell you, Solid Rock, that in eternity past, around the throne of God, the Lord Jesus Christ was pre-qualified to save mankind. You, Solid Rock, are pre-qualified to be saved. First, you must recognize that sin is rebellion against God and his authority and his righteousness. Then you must acknowledge that you are a sinner who deserves everlasting punishment for your sins, that you cannot deliver yourself and the devil doesn't want to deliver you. Then you must repent of your sins, which involves a heartfelt, anguished conviction over having sinned against God. Then confess and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must admit that he was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life, willfully allowed himself to be crucified, to pay for the sins of all men. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, rose on the third day, ascended up to heaven where he's making intercessions. He's coming back soon. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to receive Christ? Are you ready to live up to what God wants you to do? Are you ready to be all you can be? Are you ready to live to your entitlement and your responsibilities? It's up to you. God wants you. God wants you. It's available to you right here, right now. It's available. As I take my seat, I just came to tell you it's time to stop hiding behind "I can't." When you stand before the Lord unsaved, he's going to ask you, "Why weren't you saved?" You can't say, "Because I didn't know." He's going to play back every opportunity you had on the camcorder of your mind. That tape will run. How today the offer was made and you refused. The problem is tomorrow's not promised to you. Tomorrow is not promised. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how many health clubs you belong to. I don't care how many exercises you're going to do today. People that exercise die too. Come on, somebody. On your day and your hour, you are leaving here. Question becomes, are you ready with God? Let me reiterate one more time. You must recognize that sin is all unrighteousness against God and determine in your heart that I want to be all that he wants me to be. Then you must recognize that you are a sinner, deserving of eternal punishment, which unless you're saved, it's on the way. And then you must recognize and receive that Jesus Christ is the payment for our sins. I'm glad God didn't give us 10 ways to get saved. He gave us one. See, if he'd given us 10, it would be crowded with too many people. Come on, somebody. They had no intention to be saved, but they just wanted to block you. He gave us one. And Christ said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. God made it easier. He did not tell you, wait till you feel something. Don't you wait till you feel anything. Your emotions have gotten you into trouble how many times? Some of us married people because of emotions. Come on, somebody. Some of us have rejected folk because of emotions. We got folks sitting here right now that don't want to have anything to do with their family. And let me say this. The family you are in, God placed you there. Now, that's hard for them to understand. See, Bible study, you learn. He placed you in the one, and you may be the one person in that family that would help bring them to Christ. But I don't have nothing to do with them. You don't understand about them. They're a bunch of wretches. Well, if you're not doing the will of God and you're not trying to save them, who's more wretched? When you have the solution and you won't feed them the meal they need, who's more wretched? It's one thing not to know. It's another one to know and not do. The invitation to Christian discipleship is open. Let me say this. If you don't know about salvation, saved means that you are cleared from the penalty of sin. God has promised. That when you receive him, every sin you've ever committed in life, he said, I will throw into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. He cannot remember. That's the one thing God can't do. He can't remember who I used to be once I confessed Jesus and gave myself up and became born again. You see, that old person stopped existing. You become a new creature in Christ. Anybody saved today? Today's your birthday. Forget what day is on your birth certificate. Today is your birthday. You get to start all over today. But if you don't know, come down. One of these ministers or deacons will take you out and answer any question. We will not try to pull you in here because you won't stay. Our goal is not to pull you in. Our goal is to teach you. It's up to you to